the trunk. It sits under a bag of old clothes, hidden from direct sight. A trunk filled with pictures of my childhood. I sit back and reflect on all the memories that are compacted within this tiny space. Pictures of happy times. Pictures of memories that bring me back to that darkness that has lingered within the cracks of my armor. The anxiety that this trunk brings weakens my faith that growth has occurred. I find myself reflecting on my childhood and the love that was not expressed. A child should never question the love of the people that brought them into this world. They should just know they are loved. With a heavy heart, I take a breath and calm the anxiety and expose my past. Exposing my pain, exposing the darkness, allows me to free myself. Exposing the pain, exposing the darkness, demonstrates that strength has occurred. I am not that broken child anymore. I am not a prisoner to my past. No more fighting the ghost. No more reliving the hurt. It sits under a bag of old clothes, hidden from direct sight. A trunk that holds my past. A trunk that has no power over me. So, I wrote this poem. I can say it's a part of me as well. Like, it's part of my story. But I had a friend of mine. Her mother had passed away, and there was this trunk in her garage that she never threw away. It was just there, but she wasn't able to open it. And a lot of stuff had happened in her childhood. But every time she looked at that trunk, it was just a constant reminder that, you know, what happened in her past and stuff like that. But she could never throw it away. As easy as that might sound, like, it just throw that trunk away, you know. But she could never do that. And then one day she said she got the strength, and she was able to go in and expose her past. And one of the things that she realized is, as much as there was hurt there, that she was going through all these letters and all these pictures and everything like that, there was so much hurt. But at the same time, she realized that she wasn't that child anymore. She wasn't that kid that was hurt at such a young age. And she was able to understand that she has grown more than she even knew. So the reason why I call it the trunk, and I think we always do that. We stuff our emotions, our hurt, our pain into these trunks and don't expose them. And hopefully nobody opens those trunks, because we don't want them to truly see who we are or how broken we are or our past, our broken past. And we just want people to think that we're just normal, but really we're just hurting inside. So that's the reason why I wrote that.
Kathy, you are a certified health coach and a military spouse. And oftentimes we think about our own trunks, right? Mm. And what baggage that we carry, especially during PCSs, right? Moves, and we're just packing in our stuff. But oftentimes we don't think about the emotional pain that comes with the struggles that we face. And you've had struggles as a military spouse, and you help those that are going through struggles right now as caregivers. So kind of tell us, what about, like, what do you do and how you impact the world?
Wow. Well, first, I just want to say thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks for inviting me. And I'm as I listened to you share that poem, I couldn't really help but think about my trunk.
Yeah.
You know, and I think all of us have that trunk, and we try so hard to push those thoughts and memories behind us so that, yes, we can, you know, take steps to live every single day. And in the military spouse world,
yes,
I think that's
that is something that you definitely have to do.
For sure. You know, I mean, everything, well, Rick and I grew up, my husband and I grew up in the military, we say, because we were married very young. And what we learned was that you had to put that trunk away, and you had to put on this mask to, you know, be what was expected. I like to think that things are changing today, that people are becoming more real and allowing themselves to be more real, to share some of their past, because that's what helps us connect with each other.
Yes.
You know, when we're trying to pretend we're something we're not, actually creates more distance, I believe.
I truly believe that. Mm-hmm. I truly believe that. And so I think like what you said about as being a military spouse, one of my really good friends of mine, he was injured. And one of the biggest things that his spouse is having trouble with is finding herself after that. Like she had to basically be his caregiver for almost 2.5 years. And like now, like after all that time, she's reached the point where he's able to take care of himself, and he's not where for the most part of his injuries, he kind of was a hermit, and he would say that he was a hermit. He just wanted to stay in his house all the time. So that was their life. And now that they've moved on and he's gotten better, like she hasn't found her voice or her position in life now. So can you talk a little bit about, especially with your past and everything like that, about that? And if you've seen anything like that with the people that you've helped?
Absolutely. You know, a story comes to my mind of a friend of mine who, her husband retired as a 3-star general. And she shares how she really has loved her life as a military spouse, as a mother, supporting and encouraging her family to pursue their dreams. But one day at a party, a friend asked, or, you know, this group was talking about things that they were doing and the exciting passion projects that they were working on. And they turned to her and asked her, well, what is your dream? What are you working on? You know, what have you always dreamt of doing? And, you know, she shares with a group of us friends the story because we could all really relate to what she was saying. No one ever asked.
Yeah.
You know, and then you really think about it, those of us who have been in the military spouse world for a long time, when you really dig in, and I am grateful for my time as a military spouse. I would never change it for the world. I became a nurse and a mom, then a mom, and I had to leave my career because of my husband's career. And I wanted to do that because I felt really grateful that I had the opportunity to stay home and be a mom to my kids. But then there was a time when I realized I put my career on the back burner and I need that. I mean, I love my kids and I love my husband and I love supporting, you know, our country this way.
Yeah.
But there was something about me that was coming out that wanted to do something too. And I think that's where my friend was at the time. You know, she realized that, you know, a lot of us as military spouses do what we need to do to support our military member.
Yeah.
And support their dreams and goals and aspirations. And then we raise kids and we want to support their dreams and goals and aspirations, taking them to all their sporting events and making sure that they get to experience all the things, you know, as they grow up. And then we find ourselves realizing, wow, what happened to me?
You know, and that what's crazy is like my wife, one of my really good friends, asked her like, hey, what do you do for yourself? Like, you know, cause I was just telling your husband, I take these trips practically every year as I love going hiking and stuff like that. And that's one of my things, like going hiking and stuff. My best friend would ask my wife, like, hey, what do you do for yourself? And like, she thought about it and she's like, nothing. And like, as much as, yes, I have all of my limbs and everything like that, but it is a constant reminder of, and I think in my way of thinking, and I guess a lot of veterans or people who have been injured or who have specific injuries, we look at it as a burden, you know, and we feel bad. Like I feel bad that my wife has to go through all of the things that she has to go through with me. Like there's sometimes where it's like basically she's walking on eggshells with me because. Mm-hmm. She doesn't know when, if I'm having a good day. Right. And I think that is like why would you want to put yourself through that? And I think that's the part where it's the actual pain inside when it comes to like a veteran or a frontline worker that was injured or something like that. It's like, why are you putting up with me? Mm. Like you've completely put your life on hold, exactly like what you just said. Like mm-hmm. you put your life on hold, but you did it for a reason. Mm-hmm. And but once that question's asked, like, what do you do for yourself? Or what are you trying to do for your career? And all of a sudden it's just like, you completely forget about yourself.
Right.
If I had a quarter for every time that I heard that, I'd be a rich person.
Right.
Because a lot of the times we don't think about the caregiving part. It's like, it's our duty. It's just, we do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I have a unique perspective in that I've been the service member, but I've also been the military spouse. And right. in service member, I was enlisted and my husband was an officer, just like yours was. And I think those two worlds are very, very, very different
mm-hmm.
In what's expected of you and what comes with it. Because with officers, we move every like you were saying mm-hmm. before, like 10 to...
Every 10 to 20 months.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. We moved.
And that's that's so much. So you get mm-hmm. so lost in that mm-hmm. world. So what helped you in moments where you're just like, I feel so unheard and I feel like really overwhelmed with everything, but this is my duty. I'm passionate about it. I love my husband. I love my family. I'll do this. This is a sacrifice. But for those times of the darkness, like what helped you get through that?
I think love comes to mind, right?
Yeah.
It's definitely the foundation of why we do what we do and why we stay where we stay.
Yeah.
But the other thing that I think for me was community. Having community around me that understood what I was going through, that was also going through the same things, that we could work together to create something purposeful together. I found that when I had those times, it was easier to do life. Mm. And when we were in times where I didn't have community, love is great, but it doesn't always. Right? So when you've moved to a brand new place and you have no friends and your kids don't have friends, it's a dark and sad time. Lots of things start to feel heavier. And so how I cope often, and people remind me this all the time, is, you were the one that would just jump out at an event and say, hey, your kids are the same age as mine. Let's have a play date. Actually call the next day and schedule a play date.
Wow.
And it was because I knew that we move so frequently that if I didn't act and make friends quickly, that I could get into a really sad place. And I don't like being in those places. So it's probably a coping mechanism for me to go and create these things for myself and my children.
So you found what works.
Yeah.
You found what worked for you. And so
that could be really intimidating though, especially having because your husband was very, very, very high ranking. And it gets very lonely at the top and it gets very, intimidating for people to be like, oh, that's so-and-so's wife. That's like, how was that for you?
Well, I found myself serving and not telling people who I was or who my husband was.
Yeah.
And I found that that allowed me opportunities to really connect with community when they didn't know who I was or who my husband was. And we were able to do some really amazing things at our last base around supporting deployed spouses and bringing spouses of every rank, because we lived in this area, actually in San Antonio, we considered a purple community. I mean, we had people from every branch, every rank, and I didn't care who, what branch, what rank. We had E1s to O7s, O8s in our deployed spouse group. And we would come together to do coffee chats or, crafts or, girls' night out. No one ever talked about what our spouses did. Mm-hmm. It was the commonality of what's the biggest struggle right now, like dealing with young children or teenagers who weren't really coping well, mm-hmm. and connecting those spouses together so that they had support around those issues. That was the number one thing. And I think that's
very important. Mm-hmm. It really is. And I think I think that's one of our visions is to have something like that, not just for veterans, but for frontline workers, because I think a lot of the things as frontline workers, as much as, you know, they get praised and everything, but then they get forgotten about. Once they get retired, like, there is no VA for the frontline worker. Mm-hmm. There's no programs that they have. They can't go and talk to somebody and get benefits that there is nothing like that for them.
Same with spousals.
Yeah, and for spouse. Right. And I think that is the biggest thing, is trying to have a community for them.
Right.
Where they can come in and maybe not necessarily, you know, have a, how can you say, like a bitch phase about their husbands or whatever like that, but just have a, mm-hmm. a form of community where they can just, mm-hmm. for an hour, 2 hours, just talk mm-hmm. about, you know, whatever's going on in their day, or, you know, about right. their kids or what's going on, the stuff like that. And I think that is what's much needed. And I know you did the caregiver. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So as you know, I was a nurse at one time, and I really love serving and caring for people. And I had an opportunity to become a part of a company and a business that really served in healthcare. And that's my heart, is to help people and inspire people to create healthy habits. And I got certified as a health coach. And interestingly enough, as I finished this, someone approached me and asked if I'd be interested in working for the VA. They were looking for nurses and social workers to travel and do wellness education programs. And I thought, that's right up my alley. So it was really an amazing program. For 2 years, I traveled on the East Coast to different VA communities. It was always coordinated by the caregiver support group of the VA. And I traveled with the National Veteran Caregiver Training Program. What I discovered in those teaching opportunities was I came with a module to teach certain topics,
yeah.
whether it be problem solving or taking care of yourself or communication skills, the things that you know you yeah. shouldn't have when you're caring for a wounded warrior. But what I realized in just a few classes was these caregivers just needed community, as you were saying, mm-hmm. Antonio,
yeah.
right? We would get in there and we would start off with introductions, and people would share a little bit of their story, and they would connect because they could relate to each other's stories. And before I knew it, was an hour or two that we were in the middle of connecting. I hadn't even started teaching anything yet. And to a point where I just had to kind of go, okay, this is more important. Like, sometimes we were in rural areas where caregivers did not know one other caregiver. They didn't even know anyone else who was dealing with the things that they were dealing with. So emotions were really high in these situations mm-hmm. where, you know, they would really cry and sob because they finally found someone who gets them. Mm-hmm. They finally found someone who understands the fear that they have in the middle of the night when their warrior yeah. is up pacing the house because yeah. they have a concern related to their
PTSD.
Yeah.
When they wake up and they're screaming mm-hmm. and, you know, and you have to go into survival mode, and
right.
the depression rates and the anxiety rates of caregivers mm-hmm. are skyrocketed. And yeah. no one talks about those numbers. We talk about like the 22 a day with the suicide in veterans, but what about suicide of spouses?
Right. Secondary PTSD.
You know, and PTSD. That's mm-hmm. the biggest thing about it. It's like my wife has PTSD because of me. Mm-hmm. I mean, she has PTSD because she understands my triggers and she knows when I'm about to go on. Mm-hmm. So when I'm about to go, then she starts getting an anxiety. Or if it's something that didn't bother me, but it has something that's bothered me before, like it triggers her. Mm-hmm. And that is the whole thing. And I looked up the caregiver for the VA caregiver, and it says the mission statement is to promote the health and well-being of family caregivers who care for our nation's veterans through education, resources, support, and services. And mm-hmm. I love that. But what does that look like? Because it's talking about giving them, you know, that through education, resources, support. But the support that you're saying is like when we were going into teaching these classes, like if we were going to go teach a class about a specific subject, mm-hmm. but really what they needed was just support.
Yeah.
They just needed a community. They just needed, right. and it brings back to when we do these podcasts and like a person who I ask, hey, you want to do the podcast? And they're on the fence. And they're like, I don't know, man. I've never done that, blah, blah, blah. I was like, hey, once you sit down, you'll mm-hmm. see. And once we sit down and we start talking truth, That's when they open up and they can't stop talking.
Right. But when you go to a therapy appointment, do you just like start like blabbing all your problems? Or do you, they say you have to build rapport first. You have to build a community, a connection Absolutely. First. In order to create that safety, in order to talk about these issues, and in order to learn about these skills. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise you're in your midbrain and you can't think outside in your prefrontal cortex. You can't think mm-hmm. outside of your own issues. You want to find somebody who understands you so you don't have to say a whole lot. Because a lot of the times we don't have words for it. It's just a feeling and we feel dysregulated and we feel really mismatched. And it's like, oh, I feel super lost. And that's because you really have a multitude of issues that you have to get to the core of. And right. finding somebody who understands that core without even having, like, you just see it in their face, right? Right. You Absolutely. See it in their face and you connect and you're like, ah, yes, finally.
And yeah. I think it's beautiful. I mean, like, so how did you feel when you saw that? Like, where you just had all these people connecting and like, how'd you feel about that?
It made me feel like I was finally walking in purpose, you know, mm-hmm. that I got that. To do the work that I was created to do. And what I realized too is that I love that we have organizations with a purpose to serve and educate and create all these programs. But what I believe we need is the foundational support of someone who is able to facilitate the community, mm-hmm. to create the foundation of helping caregivers connect and guide them through conversations. You know, like you said, they need to have a place, a safe place where they can share their concerns and even bitch about it, right? Yeah. But they also need things. Mentors who can say, okay, now what? Like, let's stop that.
Yeah.
What's next? What are you passionate about? What is your purpose? Like, what do you love to do that we can help you strategize a plan for and give you something to live for, basically, you know? Like, I think that's really healthy for all of us. Whether you are a caregiver or a wounded warrior, we all need purpose. And if we're always constantly thinking about what's wrong with our life versus yeah. what's great in our life and what are we working together, you know, those are two complete, you know, opposite spectrums of our world. And if we can allow us to reflect on what's not right, but what do we want to do to improve and help others? I think that's the most healthy way to bring ourselves through the challenges.
And I think a lot of it as well as what you were saying is like, when all these spouses got together, is that they finally realized that they're not the only ones.
Right.
And a lot of the times we become so into ourselves that, mm-hmm. oh, we're the only ones going through this.
Yes.
I'm the only one that has a spouse like this. But when then you find that other person, you find that other person that has the same things you're going through, are going through the same experiences they are, it's like, wow, it's eye-opening. It's like, now I know I have a voice. Now mm-hmm. I know that what I'm going through is not just myself being like, you know, being sensitive or anything like that. It's actually something that's factual. Like there's somebody else exactly going through that. And so like when I was reading the mission statement, the education stuff, the resources, support and services, I mean, it's awesome. And but I think the support should be the foundation of that. And yes, and also, but then find substance. Like you were saying, like, okay, mm-hmm. now after you've removed that, like you mm-hmm. found that person who's exactly like you, now what do you want to do? And that is the part that I think is more important because, not more important, but that which should be crucial after the fact because now they can figure out who they are mm-hmm. after being a caregiver for so many years.
And asking that question empowers them beyond belief mm-hmm. because it's like, no one asked me what I want. It's always been about other people. And then you have mm-hmm. to critically think and it takes you from your midbrain to your prefrontal cortex and it catapults it in and it's like, hey, what do you want to create? And that could be really fun. Mm-hmm. Right, so when you were deciding on what you wanted to do after, because you were talking about before we hit record, like, this is my time because mm-hmm. my husband had his time and I was happy supporting here and serving here, but also this is my time to do this. So when someone asked you, like, what do you want? You know, or you asked yourself, like, what do I want? How did you come to the conclusion of what you wanted to do?
Oh, that's such a good question. You know, it's not a straight answer.
Yeah. We can be here forever.
It's kind of like this, you know? Rick retired in 2016, and I was building a business that later I wanted to expand into health coaching, specifically to help military caregivers. And I did a lot of work to educate myself, got involved in some coaching programs so that I could learn business. And I shared a little bit with you about the Rosie Network. I work with this nonprofit because they helped me kind of walk that journey of figuring out how to build a business. And now we help military spouses and veterans, warriors, and caregivers do the same. And through that walk, I think I've kind of come full circle. I love my work as a health coach, and I love to be able to help women live a life that they love, because I feel like I'm living a life that I love now. And I want to help them to discover that. I'm really great at sitting down and strategizing and helping people, you know, figure out what it is that they want, and then talk about, like, how do we GPS it,
basically? Like, how do you get there?
How do you GPS it? You know, put it, plug in the destination into your GPS, and then the GPS kind of backtracks, right? Every step that you need. And you stay focused on, you know, being in community with the support and accountability that you need to take those steps to move towards your destination. But you have to also remember that sometimes the GPS is going to reroute you because there's been an accident. Or something, right? You're not going to always get to go direct. Sometimes, you know, sometimes it's going to take you, you're going to hit a snowstorm, and it might not, you might not get there in the same day you thought you were going to. And that's kind of how my business has been, really kind of walking through all of these journeys and just allowing God to teach me every day, you know, and put people in my path that allows me to grow more. Because I've had a lot of really amazing mentors and a lot of really amazing opportunities. Sometimes they're not so fun. Sometimes they can be, you know, like you feel like you're getting hit by bullets, you know? And then you just have to sit back and assess that situation and figure out, you know, do I want to move forward with this plan, or do I revise that plan? You know, so, and reroute it.
So what you're saying is so these business, like this business that you developed, what does that entail for the veterans? Like, just on planning their path on, like, education, or like what does that entail?
So for me, my purpose is really, Rick and I together are growing a business to inspire healthy living on the go. And we really like having conversations with, you know, former military, military spouses about, you know, if they are wanting to build anything, you have to be focused on your own health. You know, I follow you on Tinder. I know you're focused on your health. And, you know, it's just so important that we every day are doing something to nourish our body, you know, and to it. So healthy living isn't just about the nutrition and the fitness. It's also about, how do we think? You know, like, Haley, really, you're the big thinker here, you know? And so you get what I'm talking about. But, you know, what are we allowing our brains to think? And how are we responding to the bullets that are hitting us in everyday life?
I love
and
you
I'll
said
tell
that.
You right now, for the gut, I'm going to be nerdy for a second. For the gut biome, it needs to be healthy in order to affect your mind. And so if you have an unhealthy gut, you have an unhealthy mind, period. And it's just science. So if you fuel yourself with healthy food, if you drink the amount of water that you need to, make sure it's lemon water in the morning. It's good detox. If you do a pattern of healthy behaviors, you're going to have positive reactions. It's just a chemical. It's like chemistry, right? So it's a chemical reaction. In order to get these good chemical reactions, you need to have a certain level of knowledge in healthy living. And I'm going to be completely honest. Like, when my doctor would say, oh, you need, like, to, how are you sleeping? How are you eating? How are you pooping? I'm like, don't worry about all that stuff. It's just my mind. It's just my mind. Because I didn't want to think about, oh my gosh, that's so much effort to live a healthy lifestyle. But honestly, it's not. It's just the little changes that you make. Like, add a little, like, squeeze a little lemon into your water. That's
Absolutely.
You know, it, right when you wake up, just drink some water. Eat something really good. Don't buy junk food. If you don't have it in your fridge, you're not going to eat it. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's great that you said that though, because I feel like for myself, we talk about it a lot. There was a video of me that I was like, I think I was pulling like 350 pounds and I was flipping like a 300 pound tire or something like that. I had the weights, like, anyways, but like, think about it. I was working out crazy. Mm-hmm. But the thing about it, I was just torturing myself. Mm. And a lot of it was that, like, we think about a physical health and we just look at just the physical part, eat right, go work out, make sure all of this, whatever like that. But I believe that overall health by mentally, mm-hmm. also being aware of your mental state is very important. Because you can be physically healthy, you can eat right and everything like that. But if your mind is not right, you're really not wrong. You're really not right. You have mm-hmm. a cracked foundation. Mm-hmm. And I think for myself, going through everything that I went through and going to like going and working out, I was using it as torture. I was just torturing myself until I actually started going to actual therapy and getting on medications and everything like that to help me. Now I enjoy working out. Before I loved going, but it was more to just relieve some of the pressure that I had inside of me. But
right.
I wasn't helping myself. It would help me for about 30 minutes, 45 minutes. And then I was back in my darkness again. Mm-hmm. And I had to go back for another 2.5 hours. Mm-hmm. And I was just torturing myself. So I believe that overall health falls down not just on what you eat and how much you're working out and all this stuff like that, but what you're actually putting in your mind and how are your mental thoughts about yourself, like mm-hmm. that self-talk that everybody has. Are you just crapping on yourself all day? Are you just keeping telling yourself that you're not worthy, you're this and that, whatever like that? What are you doing mentally on yourself to help you push forward?
And what are you watching on YouTube? Exactly. You know, are you watching the Kardashians all day?
Because you're going to get into a negative mindset.
Yes. Oh, that's a big one.
You know? Who's the top mm-hmm. five that you hang out with, you know? Mm-hmm. And
the environment is so important. So this is really, we're talking about holistic health.
Yes.
You know, the whole body.
The whole body.
You know, eating more whole foods. You know, focusing on every aspect of living, which means physical, mental, spiritual, financial, right? All of those things, if one of those are out of alignment, it's going to impact the other.
And you're no longer a powerhouse, you're a battery.
Exactly.
And as a caregiver, you have to be a powerhouse. Mm-hmm. Because if you're a battery, you only have this much energy to expand upon them.
Right.
And then what's left over for you? What's left over for your kids? What's left over? And we were looking at statistics before, you know, and like the post 9/11, pre 9/11, it's astounding.
It's crazy. It's like 4.4 million pre 9/11 military caregivers, mm-hmm. 1.1 million post 9/11 military caregivers. And I think that's surprising is like 63% of those caregivers are employed. So like, really, if 63% of those percent of those people are employed, where do they find themselves after the fact? I mean, they still got to take care of their spouse if they're employed. I mean, now you have your job, you have kids, everything, and you have to take care of your spouse as well. Like, to me, I think that's like it leaves the spouse just nothing, mm-hmm. nothing for herself,
right?
And that's when you get like burnouts and you have all of that. So I think that is one of the statistics that needs to be looked at is actually exactly what Haley said is yes, we do have statistics for veterans who have been impacted and commit suicide and stuff like that. But what are the statistics for caregivers? Mm-hmm. I think that's a very important question.
Absolutely. And I think the thing that as caregivers and women in general, like who mm-hmm. are caregiving, we tend to be nurturers and we want to be able to do it all. But what we really need is to ask for support. We need to learn how to ask, but we also need to learn how to receive. Mm. You know, when someone offers to help, I think a lot of times we have burdened ourselves to the point where we believe we're the only ones that can do X, Y, Z.
And this has recently changed in history. If you look back 300 years ago, we were a tribal people. Not tribal as in like, you know, grunt, you know, caveman, but tribal as in like we raised children using a village. We were a community. Mm-hmm. We were people who hunted together. gathered together. Mm-hmm. And so this mindset shift into the generation of me is where it really started to become prominent socially with the development of like social media. And we were just starting to get into this mindset of like, what about me? What about me? What about me? What can I do? What can I do? But it puts us into a rut to where it's like, it's about either me or it's about everyone else and I don't matter. And it's like a pendulum swing and we're not in the middle anymore of like, what about us? What about the team? What about the community? What about like, who can I give to my community? Like to it's like a bank, right? You pay yourself first, then you pay it out to the bank and then they pay you as well. And so are the people that you have around you, like, are they paying into your bank or are they just taking money? Are you paying yourself or are you just giving out money that you don't have?
Right. Oh, becoming overdrawn.
Yeah.
Which I think is very common
in
the caregiver space. We don't want to bother people. We don't want to impose on others. I think sometimes we also become addicted to being needed.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Right? And not wanting others to get in our chili. But then we complain about nobody wants to help us. Right?
It's like this
double-edged sword and we have got to get out of ourselves. Like you said, you know, it's stop making it about us and making or making about me, but make it more about us, the village or the family, you know, receive help and be grateful for it. And also be able to let people offer the help and do it their way. Because we had to figure it out. We didn't do it perfectly in the beginning. We had to figure it out. So if we're going to allow other people to come in and help us and let them figure it out themselves. And I'm preaching to the choir because, you know, as a mom, I think I fell into that trap where I was, you know, I would kind of get on my kids because they didn't do it the way I did it. I learned too late. I wish I would have learned that sooner, right? To just let them figure it out. Let them... It's not going to be perfect, but if I could let them practice and keep doing it and figuring it out, they will get it right. You know?
And I think I was talking to one of my buddies about this. I fall back a lot on myself about like what I'm doing to like now, especially going through everything I've gone through, like what I'm doing to support my wife. But also raise my kids in the right way. Like I look at my mental illness that I have. And a lot of the things that we have when we talk about mental illness, once you actually go to therapy and you start tackling it, whatever like that, like there's so many other underlying conditions that caused you to have like the reaction that you did to this. Okay. So like for me, it was my childhood. And I talk to this a lot. It's like, there's this generational, mental health problems. And I think it's like something that has came from our past, like not just
through your DNA.
But like the way that you were raised
by like our intergenerational trauma is a thing.
So like I look back at like my family, the way they raised me and the way that maybe they got raised by their family members and a lot of their coping mechanisms just kept getting passed on and passed on and passed on. And here I am again, like just continuing to push it. But now that I've realized that, and like now we've realized that, hey, we need to do more for not just the veteran and the spouse, but now we need to look at a little more broader. Like what kids, like my kids, like what are we putting out to the community? Like if I'm giving them my way of coping and all of a sudden now they have that and now they create their families, they're just going to keep passing it on. And it's just this snowball that just keeps going through and just keeps bigger and bigger and bigger and just keeps cycling over and over again. So I think what we're trying to do is we're trying to make that stop.
Right.
Now there's a freaking Y in the road. And now, no, instead of going this way that traditionally everybody takes in our family, now we're going to go this way. Now we're actually, we're a detour. Let's detour this. And I think that is the biggest thing is like, for like spouses, giving them good support so that they can break that mold of continually going this way. And now let's take this detour. Let's come over here. Let's really work on you and what makes you better and just whole.
Right.
One thing you said, I'm pretty sure you were happy before when you were a military spouse, like you said, because you said, I'm happy now, I'm happy. But you were, I think what it is, it's more is like when you find your purpose, you find yourself whole. And I think that's where I'm at. Like I found myself whole now and I love what I do. So I'm pretty sure that's how you feel. Cause I love what I did before too.
Yeah, I do love what I did before, but I do think probably as I say this, most people in that environment knows that there are certain things that are expected.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you can choose to hate it or you can choose to love it and go with the flow and make it your own and do the things that you can do to impact in that world. But once you come out of that world and you don't have those constraints and expectations, I think it just becomes more freedom to really walk in your purpose and to be able to say the things that you really want to say about certain things. And, you know, and to really talk to who you want to talk to and not feel like there's expectations or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the one thing is, you know, as we continue to talk about just caregivers and taking care of ourselves, you know, self-care is so talked about, right? We talk about it all the time, but do we actually do
practice it? Yeah.
Well, do we actually practice it? And I think the most important thing that we all need, every human, not just the military caregiver or the first responder caregiver, but every one of us, you know, the warrior, you know, every man, woman, and child needs to get that when we take care of ourselves first, you know, like they say on the airplane, put your mask on first before you help anyone else, because you're no good if you passed out.
Yeah.
Right. If we can, there's a fine line between being selfish and taking care of yourself. And self-care is not selfish. Mm-hmm. Self-care is probably the number one thing we can do for our family, our children, and the world, because they're watching us. You know, kids are watching us. And if we're not taking care of ourselves, they're going to repeat, like you said, what we've done, right? So if we can take care of ourselves and elevate and figure out how to respect ourselves, I think that's the most important thing. We have to learn to respect ourselves first. Mm-hmm. To say I'm worthy of taking this time to do XYZ for me, that's when the children go, oh, wow, mom is doing this for her. I can do that when I'm growing up.
Oh, man, right? I love that. I love that.
And they learn to respect themselves enough to say, this is what I want out of life, right?
Yes.
But if they only see us being subservient and taking care of everyone else's needs, then they believe that that's what they need to do too.
So there's a couple things that you had mentioned. So there's an association pattern, right? I must do this in order to do this, right? Then there's a narrative that we tell ourselves is that I don't matter because one, society doesn't look upon you as a caregiver and has a lot of expectations for you. And so it's like, well, my life is not as bad as theirs. So therefore I must give and give and give because my life isn't as bad.
You minimize your story. You minimize yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so as a nurse, you know this, but associations are very, very, very powerful. Now, if you have an association of, if I don't take care of them, they will die. Mm-hmm. Like literal death, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of caregivers out there that are like that. If I don't take care of them, they will die. How do you balance you with putting out a fire like that, where it's a constant state of crisis?
Mm-hmm. Oh gosh, that's a really good question, because some people feel like they're in a position where they don't have the support anywhere. Yeah. They don't know who to turn to. They don't have family who can really come in and help them for whatever reason. You know, I've talked to a lot of caregivers who feel like they've lost friendships and family because of their situation. Because they don't understand, especially if there's not a physical wound.
Yeah.
You know,
those hidden wounds.
Hidden wound. Everyone on the outside thinks, oh, everything looks good.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? What is wrong with you? You know, but then behind closed doors, things are different. Mm-hmm. And they don't know how to express that or ask for help. The biggest challenge, I think, is being able to get them together and maybe strategize together, and a situation where the warrior can be a part of the strategy and the planning, so that maybe they can figure out, does the warrior have a buddy they trust? that could be a battle buddy to come in and hang out for an afternoon and watch some football or do something that the Warriors like to do so that that spouse can go and do something to get some relief for herself or himself or,
so you know what I mean? Care.
Respite care. Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
respite.
Yeah. And yeah. I think that is, it's a little bit of problem solving in that situation, right? You have to think.
Yeah.
Think through the situation, like how can we think out of the box in this, in those terms if you don't have a natural support system like family?
Yeah, because not every situation can be the same.
Right.
You know, so, but I think one of the biggest things that you keep talking about, it keeps going back to is just community.
Community.
Plus, if you do have a community, yeah. you are able to, like, you know, have that person that you know that the warrior can, yeah. or the frontline worker can be able to, like, associate with right. and feel comfortable talking mm-hmm. to them about these things. And then the spouse can go out and get help. Mm-hmm. But I think that is the biggest thing is like when the spouse is getting that perspective or that in that mindset that no, there's nobody out there that can help me. And I think we need to have that ability to be able to show them, no, there's mm-hmm. there's programs out there that can mm-hmm. actually help you do this. And not everything's going to fit directly, but hey, let's just sit down and talk about it. Like you said, strategize mm-hmm. about different ways of making this work. So that you can be able to go get yourself help, because it goes back to exactly what you said about then all of a sudden, then your kids are seeing the way that you are treating yourself. Mm-hmm. And now they're going to start treating themselves that way mm-hmm. going on from the future, especially if you have girls. Like my oldest daughter, oh my God, that little girl follows every little thing that we do. And it's, to me, yeah. it's incredible. Like it's amazing. It's beautiful. Like she is, I believe she's going to be an engineer or something.
She's
with
amazing.
Like mm-hmm. she creates these things, these houses out of boxes and all of this stuff. And she puts so much detail into it, but she always sees me create and she mm-hmm. sees me write and she sees me all these things. So she has this passion for art and all of these things. So I know that, like, as much as we as parents should know that everything we do, our kids are going to follow.
Right.
But when you see that, it's just like, okay, so they're doing the good stuff that I'm showing them, but like, and are they learning the bad stuff also? Are they learning the way that I cope? Mm-hmm. And that is what scares me, because I want to be able to put out great humans into this world
right.
to where they create their families and then they are flourishing, not just, mm-hmm. you know, education, financial and all of that, but their family, their structure of their family is whole. And now they start growing other children that are going to be amazing as well. And then you have this different pattern, this change in society, this change in the community, change in our families. And I think that is the most important part. But creating these communities for caregivers and frontline workers and veterans, I think that is what needs to be done. And I believe that there has been, but I think as well, you need to be raw about it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just tiptoe about like the whole situation. You got to show how ugly it is. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be 100% easy going. There's going to be a lot.
Perfect.
Yes.
Right. But talking about the imperfections,
right,
is going to be extremely important, because it's like with your kids, mommy's having a bad day today, and this is why, and this is how I cope with it, and this is what I'm doing to get through with it, and work with them together. So they also know how to strategize through these mm-hmm. tough times, because they're going to have tough times in their life right. as well. But you have to be healthy in order to do that. You have to have energy in order to express that. Otherwise you get irritable. Like when you caregive, your irritability rises up because you don't have a stress relief throughout the day. You mm-hmm. can't go to the gym like for 2 hours and leave your person, right? So what I always say is, like, do little things throughout the day that you can release that energy. And even if it's just like laughing, mm-hmm. if you try to laugh 5 times and into a ha 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 ho 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 pattern, you're going to start, I know, so you're going to start laughing. And laughing is a release of energy.
It's very therapeutic. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's amazing. Ha 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 ha. Ho 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 ho. Ha ha!
You're making me laugh, man.
But it sounds crazy. But
sound like Santa Claus a little bit.
It's an automatic dopamine release, and that's how you get these stressors out and create a happy like medium. It has to be balanced. Everything needs to be balanced, and it's not going to be perfect. But as long as you work towards that practicing, then you'll be okay.
Well, ma'am, well, thank you so much for being on here and just talking about like some of the programs that you've been a part of. But I always ask, if there is something that you would tell somebody out there that's going through this with as a caregiver right now? What is a piece of advice you would give?
Piece of advice. I really think one of the most important things we can do is to connect in community. And I love what you guys are doing here in creating community for frontline workers and for their families. You know, connecting with this community and taking part, maybe serving and being able to meet a friend that can connect with you. I think that's the one thing that I realized in working with nonprofits and organizations. I love that there are organizations that want to serve us as a community.
Yes, ma'am.
But it's really up to us to take the step to go out and meet people and create the connections and the relationships that are going to feel comfortable to allow others to help serve us. You know?
Yes, ma'am.
We can't expect an organization, like if we need help, do we want an organization to come in and take care of our kids?
Not really.
It takes us going to these events and meeting a friend that we really connect with and trust,
yeah,
that our kids have connected and bonded with, right? So we've got to step out of our comfort zone to make that community and surround ourselves with community so that when we need the help, we feel comfortable asking and our families feel comfortable receiving.
And what resources are available to us that who are caregivers? And so what resources do you offer? And you have a cohort coming up in January, right?
Yes. So I do work with the Rosie Network, and it's a nonprofit that helps military spouses, veterans, and caregivers develop businesses. And so you can go to therosienetwork.org. Happy to also connect if people want to connect with me, kathymurphy1988@gmail.com. I love being able to connect with caregivers and really just talk out some strategy around what they want to build for themselves. And
quick question on that program, is it just associated for veterans or could it be for frontline workers that were basically injured?
That's a really good question. It's not my organization, but I...
Because I have a friend of mine and I believe this program would be greatly like something that I know she would love to do. But I mean, she's a frontline worker and I mean, her spouse is a frontline worker and her spouse was directly affected and is now can't work. But I mean, that's one of the voices that I'm saying. It's like, now she needs to find her position in life.
Yeah,
and if there is something out there like that for frontline workers to be able to reach out to and be like, hey, can I get some help also trying to find my voice? You know,
well, I know our community is all about inclusivity and really helping people who need the help. And so whether it be our organization or us being able to connect them with a mentor or another organization that is more specific to them, we will find that help for them.
That's awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much, man, for being here.
Thank you for inviting.
All right, thank you.
Awesome.
Bye.